Today we'd like to see the title of Judah's fall in 2 Kings chapters 24 and 25. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel, on this we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapter 24, verse 4, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. What does it mean in the context, and what can you learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 24, verse 20. For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, that he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. What does it mean in the context, and how can you apply it to our lives? Last question, in chapter 25, verse 21. Then the king of Babylon struck them and put them to death at Lebar in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive from its own land. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? In the last time, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 37, and he did the evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. Jehoiakim was a wicked ruler who murdered the prophet Urijah and ruled with dishonest greed and injustice toward his people. He rebelled against Babylon by aligning himself with Egypt, which ultimately led to his defeat and exile in Nebuchadnezzar. His life shows that even good and faithful parents do not automatically produce godly children. Faith is not inheritance. It must be taught. Parents cannot assume others will pass on what they believe. They must live out their faith, explain it clearly, and intentionally teach it to their children. Cross reference right there. Here, time order of the king's chapter here, 15th Josiah, actually Jehoiakim's father, in a good king, generally good king. So then his the son is right here, you know, Shalom, Jehoiachar, then Jehoiakim, you know, the 17th king, so also the son. Here, Josiah, the 5th king, descendant, good king. Joachim, the 18th king, his grandson, and the other three, 16th, 17th, and the last 18th kings, his sons, right there. Chapter 24, let's see. In his day, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Joachim became the vassal for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. After Babylon defeated Assyria in 612 before Christ and then crushed Egypt at the Battle of Carchemish in 605 BC, it became the new world power and took control of former Egyptian territories, including Judah. Babylon invaded Judah in 606. And 597 before Christ, and eventually destroyed Jerusalem in 586 before Christ. Josiah was the last righteous king of Judah, and after his death, his son Jehoiachin was taken captive by Pharaoh. Another son, Eliakim, was placed on throne when Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem. He subdued the city, made Judah a vassal state, renamed Eliakim as Jehoiakim, and allowed him to rule. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king and reigned for 11 years, a period that overlaps in much of Jeremiah's prophetic ministry. During his reign, Jehoiakim did evil in the sight of the Lord, leading the nation back into idolatry and reviving the sins of Manasseh, which ultimately brought God's judgment upon Judah. Verse 2. And the Lord sent against him raiding bands of Chaldeans, bands of Assyrians, bands of Moabites, and bands of the people of Ammon. He sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servants the prophet. Surely at the command of the Lord, these came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done. First of all, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. In Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 20 up to 23, we read of the prophet Elijah who prophesied against the king Jehoiakim and was put to death by the king, who also sought to kill Jeremiah and his scribe Baruch, though they were hidden and escaped. During Jehoiakim's reign, Jeremiah dictated to Baruch the judgment of God pronounced against Jerusalem, and Baruch publicly read this scroll roll in the temple. When the officially heard the message, they brought it before the princes and then to the king. As the scroll was read to Jehoiakim, he cut it with a knife and burned it in the fire. In response, Jeremiah and Baruch produced a second scroll containing the same judgments, declaring that the word of God could not be destroyed, and that divine judgment could not be escaped by rejecting or burning it. Thus Jehoiakim stood guilty of shedding innocent blood, reviving child sacrifice to Molech, and persecuting and killing the prophets of God who spoke against these abominations. So Jeremiah chapter 26, 20 up to 23 is cross-reference. You may read them. Then is the verse 6. So Jehoiakim rested with his fathers. Then Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his place. Jehoiachin, the son of Jehoiakim, was also known as Jeconiah, and some passages as Coniah. And the king of Egypt did not come out of his land anymore, for the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt, from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elathan of Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. Verse 10. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. Babylon forces were already advancing to suppress Jehoiakim's rebellion when he died, after which his son Jehoiachin, also called Jeconiah, briefly reigned as king of Judah. During this short reign, Jeremiah pronounced judgment against Jeconiah, declaring that none of his descendants would prosper or sit on the throne of David. saying, Write this man as a childless, for none of his descendants shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David and ruling anymore in Judah. Consequently, Jehoiachin did not have a son succeeded him. Instead, he was taken captive to Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar placed his uncle Zedekiah, another son of Josiah, on the throne as a king of Judah. 11. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city as his servants were besieging it. 12. Then Jehoiachin, king of Judah, his mother, his servants, his princes, and his officers went up to king of Babylon. And king of Babylon, in the 8th year of his reign, took him prisoner. This occurred in the 8th year Nebuchadnezzar's reign, only the 3rd month of Jehoiachin's rule, when Nebuchadnezzar took him captive to Babylon and confined him in prison. However, in his later years, Jehoiachin was released from captivity. See verse chapter 25, verse 38, we are covering. Verse 13, and he carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord and treasures of the king's house, and he cut in pieces all the articles of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. Verse 14, also he carried into captivity all Jerusalem, all the captains and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. The leaders were taken to Babylon cities, where they were allowed to live together, work, and become productive members of society. This resettlement policy helped to preserve the unity of the Jewish community and sustain their faith in God throughout the captivity, making their eventual return under Ezra possible. Ezra recorded in the book of Ezra, verse 15, and he carried Jehoiachin captive to Babylon. The king's mother, the king's wives, his officers, and the mighty of the land he carried into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. All the valiant or courageous men, 7,000 and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000 all who were strong and fit for war, these the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. Then the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, Jehoiachin's uncle, king in the place, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. Verse 20, for because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, that he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Zedekiah was installed as a king, yet he too rebelled against Babylon. A development the writer notes was the anger of the Lord finally, for God had repeatedly given Judah opportunities to repent and turn from sin. Though the Lord is slow to anger and abundant in mercy, he continually warns the nation through the prophets to return to him, reminding them of the covenant established from the beginning. Obedience would bring blessing, prosperity, but rebellion would result in captivity and removal from the land. Like all people, Judah struggled with the flesh, yet instead of seeking God's forgiveness, transformation, and deliverance through his spirit, they yielded to sinful desires, refused to repent. Consequently, God allowed them to fall into captivity of the enemy, for Judah's downfall was ultimately the result of persistent repentance and submission to the flesh rather than to the spirit. Chapter 28, verse 1, last chapter, 2 Kings. Verse 1, now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it. And they built a city wall against it all around. Judah was invaded by Babylonians 3 times, just as Israel had previously been invaded 3 times by the Assyrians. And each case God demonstrated his mercy amid deserved judgment by granting the people repeated opportunity to repent. Verse 2, so the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled at night by way of the gate between two walls, which was by the king's garden. Even though the Chaldeans were still encamped all around against the city, and the king went by the way of the plain. Verse 5, but the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. As everyone fled for himself, King Zedekiah was captured by Babylonians, also known as the Chaldeans, near Jericho. So they took the king and brought him up to king of Babylon and Riblah, and they pronounced judgment on him. Verse 7, then they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him with bronze fetters, and took him to Babylon. The prophet Ezekiel concerning Zedekiah is found in Ezekiel, chapter 12, 13. I will also spread my net over him, and he shall be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. Offering an important insight into the king's destiny. Verse 8. And in the 5th month, on the 7th day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. First line, he burned the house of the Lord and king's house, all the house of Jerusalem, that is all the house of the great, he burned with the fire, and all the army of the Chaldeans who were with captain, the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem all around. When Nebuchadnezzar came, he destroyed the temple, the city, and the houses. Verse 11, then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive the rest of people who remained in the city, the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon with the rest of the multitude. Verse 12, but the captain of the guard left some of the poor of the land as vine dressers and farmers. Verse 13, the bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord, and the carts and bronze seat that were in the house of the Lord, and Chaldeans broke in pieces, and carried their bronze to Babylon. Bronze seat, a large reservoir used by the priest for ritual cleansing, was taken in pieces in Babylon, to Babylon. Verse 14, they also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the spoons, all the bronze utensils with which the priest ministered, the fire pans and basins, the things of solid gold, solid silver, the captain of the guard took away. the two pillars, one sea and the cart, which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord. The bronze of all these articles was beyond measure. Verse 17, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and the capital on it was of bronze. The height of the capital was 3 cubits, and the network and the pomegranates all around the capital were all of bronze. 1 cubit is 18 inches, or 45.72 centimeters. The second pillar was the same with the network, and the captain of guard took Seraiah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an office with the change of the men of the world, 5 men of the king's close associated, who were found in the city, the chief recruiting office of the army, who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the city. So Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. Then the king of Babylon struck them, put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive from its own land. Verse 21, last question. Like Israel, Judah was unfaithful to God, and as he had warned, God allowed Judah to be destroyed and taken into captivity. Deuteronomy chapter 28, basically verse 2 and 15 right there. Lamentation 1:1-1:2. The book of Lamentation captures Jeremiah's profound sorrow over destruction of Jerusalem. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2 and 15. And all these blessings shall come upon you, overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes carefully, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Lamentation chapter 1, verse 1. How lonely sits the city that is full of people. How like a widow is she, who was great among the nations. The princess among provinces has become a slave. Lamentation 2, 1 and 2. How the Lord has covered the door of a giant with a cloud in his anger. He cast down from heaven to the earth the beauty of Israel, and did not remember his footstool in the days of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up and has not pitied all the dwelling places of Jacob. He has thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought them down to the ground. He has profaned the kingdom and its princes. Verse 22. Then he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, governor of the people who remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left. Now when all the captains of the army, they and their men, heard that king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah, Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, Johanan, the son of Kareah, Seraiah, the son of Talmath, the Netophatite, and Zazaniah, the son of Makatite, they and their men. And Gedaliah took an oath before them and their men, and said to them, do not be afraid of a servant of Chaldeans, dwell in the land, and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. Gedaliah, showing practical wisdom, encouraged the people by saying, they have conquered us, but do not be afraid to settle here. They will be reasonable and not harsh taskmasters. 25, but it happened in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, the son of Elishama, of royal family, came with 10 men and struck and killed Gedaliah, the Jews, as well as the Chaldeans who were with him at the Mitzaphah. Judah's earthly kingdom was completely destroyed, yet through prophets like Daniel, Ezekiel, who were themselves captives, God preserved the face of many exiles. Recognizing the danger following Judah's rebellion against Babylon by killing Gedaliah, Jews and Chaldeans and Mitzaphah, many fled to Egypt for safety, and tradition holds that Jeremiah may have fled there as well, though this is not certain. Well, 27, now it came to pass in the 37 years of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year, and he began to reign, released Jehoiachin, king of Judah, from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. Last verse, and as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king, a portion for each day, all the days of his life. Jehoiachin was released from prison and treated kindly by the king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar's success is evil Merodach king. This marks the close of Judah's early history, which continues in Daniel, Ezekiel, during the Babylon captivity, and later in Ezra and Nehemiah after exile, carrying the narrative to the end of Old Testament period, when God spoke through the prophets after Zechariah and Malachi, followed by a 400-year silence before the announcement of John the Baptist's birth. The book of 2 Kings opens with Elijah taken up to heaven, symbolizing the destiny of those who faithfully followed God. But it closes with Judah's people, exiled as humbled or shamed, slaves, due to their disobedience. In Ezra, when the people confessed their sins, God welcomed them back to their land to start anew. A principle that remains whenever we sin, confessing leads to God's forgiveness and opportunity to begin again with Him. We covered all the questions, so we continue to keep on prayer for a lot of missionaries and prayer cast there. So we see, the mission card, also battle, Baltic Sea mission tour. So they are, the forefather Protestant countries there. But today, Muslim secular life is no Christian daily life there. So we are sharing the scripture, it's happening to them. Continue to keep on prayer for them there. So bottom line is disconnected in a few reasons to entire Word of God in the scriptures. So keep on praying for them. May God bless you richly. Let's sing all together Maranatha song on brochure.